of a prayer. Thank you for having faith to offer a public petition. We know that God hears and He knows. He knows our thoughts even afar off. We give honor to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, God the Father, and the Holy Spirit, to Reverend Williamson and to Minister Sally, amen. So thankful that at the last minute he thought enough of us to come by. We are so thankful. We have benefited already from his presence. To you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, amen. It's good for us to be here. Just for a few moments, amen, we want to direct your attention to a portion of the responsive reading, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. You may find that in your bulletin or in your Bible, amen. And when you're ready, you found that, say amen.
Amen.
And I'm reading from the King James. And it says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there be or come a falling away first, and that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped. So he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things." I want to talk just for a few moments about dressed for the wedding. Dressed for the wedding. Those of you that may not know or think about it, but this is Advent season. Amen. As we celebrate the coming of our Savior, we celebrate his birth, but during Advent season, we not only celebrate his birth, but we celebrate the fact that he is coming back again. Amen. He came once and he's going to come again. Let me talk just for a moment to the seasoned saints in the house. Amen. Remember when you were just a babe in Christ, fresh out of the water, fresh off the Broadway that would have led you to destruction, inexperienced in the word. And no matter how many sermons you heard, you still have to learn to apply your heart unto wisdom. Is that right? And as you think about that, that was the church at Thessalonica. They were young, just delivered from paganism, like lambs in the midst of wolves. Amen. They stood tall among their enemies. But their teachers had left them alone. And their raw convictions needed to be consolidated, amen, and matured in the face of much opposition. That's why over and over again in both of these letters to the Thessalonians, Paul makes reference to the persecution, the tribulations that they endure, and to the consolations of God would cause to abound. His letters were, amen, if you allow me to say it this way, his letters were the hang in there tight. Amen. Just hold on. Amen. Hang on in there. Encouragement for this small fledgling church, he encouraged them with a new direction. Now we all need to be taught how to hang in there. Is that right? Amen. We got to be taught how to hang in there. Paul said, I've learned. Amen. Learning is a process. Now life is filled with swift transitions. Naught of earth unmoved can stand. You ought to build your hopes on things that are eternal. Hold on to God's unchanging hand. Tomorrow may be the day your faith is tested. You do know that that a faith that is not tested is not a faith at all. How can you prove your faith without being tested? And see, some of us don't want testing. We don't want pruning. We don't want suffering. We don't want fertilization. And many times those things come through trials and tribulations. Well, if you got faith, you're going to be tested. The best encouragement we can receive is the hope of Christ's return. Amen. If Christ, Paul said, if Christ be not risen, then we are most miserable indeed. If Christ be not risen, our preaching is in vain. If Christ be not risen, in other words, we ought to turn the lights off and go home right now. But we know he got up. Is that right? Amen. In our text, Paul is dealing with an impatient church. Impatient church. They were impatient for Christ to come back and to sweep them up into heaven. They were eager to escape the trials and the tribulations of living among unbelieving Jews and Roman tyranny. And as I read that and thought about their impatience, amen, they were waiting for the Lord to come back, amen. They were in a hurry for him to come and call them back home, amen. Some of them, so much so, they didn't understand what Paul was talking about, and some decided, well, he's coming back, and they thought maybe he's coming back next week, amen. And so they decided, we're not going to work, we're not going to do anything because the Lord is coming back, amen. Now, how many of you, what would you do if the Lord told you, I'm coming back on December the 29th? Think about it. December the 29th, the Lord is going to call us home. Most of us, we'd be calling in to work tomorrow. Ain't no sense in going to work. Is that right? If you know the Lord is coming, why go to work? Your house note doing. I ain't paying no house note because car note. The Lord is coming back, so why? Do those things. Paul had to instruct them that his return, amen, no man knows the day nor the hour. We got to live and work as though he's coming back next week.
Yes.
Amen. But at the same time, it may be some years before he come. They were impatient, amen. And many of us in church, we are impatient. We impatient because things are not happening as fast as we would like them to happen. And the church may not be growing the way you want it to grow. And the money may not be what you think it ought to be. And ministry is not expanded. Amen. Service opportunities seem to be few. But we got to understand that the Bible says that one man plants, another waters, but God gives the increase. Is that right? Many of us, we leave a church in a minute because we say they ain't doing nothing. Well, you know, if it ain't nothing happening, what have you been contributing? That would be the question I would have to ask. Well, you know, if you got an idea, you got something that God has given to you, maybe you ought to present that. But you know, most of us are, you know, and I'm not talking about anybody in Fourth Ward because we don't operate like that. Most of us are bandwagon Christians anyway. Amen. We jump on the bandwagon when something is already happening and the wagon is already rolling. But we don't want to be involved in the conception, the birth of ministry, the birth of work, so that we would have to be personally responsible. We don't want to do that. So we much rather say ain't nothing happening. Well, we want Christ to come back too. Amen. But we're not quite ready to let, amen, the sweet chariot swing low and carry us home. We want Christ to come and straighten out our enemies, amen, and put them in their place. We are using God like some type of shepherd dog to sick him on our enemies. We are praying imprecatory prayers. You do know you can't pray for God to hurt nobody. You know that, don't you? You know, you can't pray, Lord, break somebody's leg, and next week you see him with a broke leg and thank God and answer your prayer. God don't operate like that. But Jesus didn't come the first time for that purpose, and he won't come the second time for that purpose. He came the first time to offer himself a ransom for all sinners who repent and believe in him. And he's coming back the second time to gather up his bride, the church, for a free trip to glory. Can I get a witness here? I said a free trip to glory. On that day, with one giant real estate transaction, each of us will claim the keys to our mansion. Hallelujah. And inherit our eternal reward. But my question is, will you be dressed for the wedding? Now, Paul had to quiet the disturbed and impatient hearts of the Thessalonians by reminding them that the time is not yet. Paul tells them not to let their minds be shaken or their spirits troubled by what they sense in their heart or hear by word or letter. He reminds them that before Christ returns from heaven, Satan will super rule over the earth. In other words, it's going to get worse before it gets better. Just look at our world, look at our society, and see what's going on, amen, and where we used to be compared to where we are now. I know we're smarter. I know that we are more technologically advanced. I know we're flying into outer space, amen, and we're moving at rapid paces. I know we are building skyscrapers, amen, bridges over water, amen, but we're no better. Because we experience entropy. You know, we're not getting better. We're not getting stronger. We're getting weaker. Amen. And so a day and a time is going to come where you're going to look at what's happening and you're going to say, man, those were the good days. Because it's going to get worse. So what do you know about the man of sin, amen, known as the son of perdition.
Yeah.
Well, it's very possible we're talking about the Antichrist, first of all, amen. And it's very possible that he's already here.
Yeah.
We're not waiting, amen, maybe for his arrival. He could be right here, right now. Not in the church, amen. Amen. We might have Antichrists, amen. There are many Antichrists, but there's only one.
Amen.
Antichrist.
Amen.
Amen. But I want to know what you recognize.
Amen.
If he stood right in your presence. Amen. Who is this man of sin who goes to and fro seeking whom he may devour?
Amen.
Who is this prince of the air who invokes his will, his evil pleasures on sinners and tries to choke the salvation out of the saints? You can't see him, but you can certainly feel his presence.
Yeah.
You feel him in every curt word your unbridled tongue speaks.
Come on now.
That's every rude word.
Yeah.
You feel him in every lustful thought your mind attempts to block out.
Right.
You feel him in every selfish decision you make, every tithe you withhold, every opportunity for service you forsake. But Paul said there will be signs that Christ is soon to come. Paul says that day, the day of the Lord, will not happen until three things take place. Amen. And first, there will be a falling away. Now, falling away is, amen, too weak, amen, for what the Greek says. And Reverend Williamson is now becoming our resident theologian, and so he can understand, amen, the fact that the, amen, what we say falling away is too weak for the Greek. For the Greek is forceful. Falling away means apostasy,
yeah,
revolt, and rebellion.
Yeah.
If you read verse 3 in the NIV version, it said, "Don't let anyone deceive you in any way. For that day will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed. The man doomed to destruction." There will be a falling away. Christians will become more and more scarce. Right now, I know it appears that the worldwide, amen, effort to evangelize mankind is working. Christians are still growing in numbers, at least that's what the statistics say. But the argument can be made that just because someone says he is a Christian does not make him one.
Amen.
Can I get a witness here?
Amen.
Everybody that says, "Lord, Lord," not going in or in. So the statistics could be wrong, amen. But God alone judges the legitimacy of a man or woman's conversion. And if I have to wonder if God's statistics are even close to the numbers that we come up with. So for instance, when God counts Christians, does he include the CME Christians? And I'm not talking about Christian Methodist Episcopal, but CME Christians, those who worship on Christmas, Mother's Day, and Easter. When God counts Christians, does he count the ones who never let the name of Jesus cross their lips? When God counts Christians, does he include the ones who raise more hell in the church than Satan? When God counts Christians, does he count the ones who worship with their presence but not with their prosperity? It wouldn't surprise me if God's numbers were much lower than ours. Maybe that's why Jesus warned us that we will not know the day nor the hour of his return. Notice Paul says there will be a falling away. I believe we can see, amen, evidence of a falling away. Amen. In our churches where sinners come to Christ and leave, Amen. Before they have a chance to bond with the body of Christ.
Yeah.
It's not just fourth ward.
Uh-huh.
It's not a fourth ward issue, but it's happening everywhere.
Yeah.
It may be that the falling away has already begun.
Uh-huh.
Paul told the Thessalonians to watch. Is that right?
Yes.
Amen. Watch for the falling away. And if I'd have to inform you contextually, amen, this was written about 54 or 55 A.D. That was nearly 1960 years ago, amen, and he talked about a falling away.
Yeah.
That was the first signal that Christ was coming soon.
Uh-huh.
Now the next sign would be more clearly visible. Secondly, he says that the Antichrist will be revealed. Now some theologians, as I've already alluded to, believe that the Antichrist is alive right now and soon will reveal himself, amen, in his attempt at a one world order. I know some of you down through the years have heard certain individuals that they said was going to be the Antichrist, amen. And he has not yet revealed himself. But biblical scholars, amen, that deal with the second coming says that perhaps he's not here yet, amen, because there's too much division among, amen, the nations of the world that we're not ready to line up, amen, behind a one world leader. That's what some scholars say. Either way, amen, if he's alive today or he's yet to be born, amen, it does not change the fact that a day and a time is going to come when he shall be revealed.
Yes.
Now the only thing that keeps him at bay is the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
That rests and resides within the church, the bride, the body of Christ.
Yeah.
And the Bible says when the bride has been taken, he shall be revealed. Well, I agree. We have a lot of churches that can't support the vision of their own pastors. We got denominations that can't agree on a common doctrine.
Yeah.
We have associations that can't formulate a common mission statement for Christ.
Yeah.
So how can we be ready to swallow the ideas of one perpetrator who infiltrated the Christian ranks?
Yes.
Well, you got to understand the church is going to be gone when he comes to power. Amen. We're going to meet Christ in the air. But that's something for Bible study. Amen. Yet the word says that the adversary is walking about seeking whom he may devour. But rest assured, the Antichrist is coming. There ain't nothing you can do to keep him from coming or prevent him from coming. It's already been predestined by God. But in this Advent season of expectation and promise, there are two parallel paths that will one day collide. The path of evil and the path of good. Those who are on the Lord's side will be caught up in the rapture, spared the tribulation that will ensue. The rest will be left behind. As Tim LaHaye and Jerry Jenkins describe in their novel by the same name. I for one don't want to be left behind. There will be a falling away. The Antichrist will be revealed. Then finally, Paul tells the Thessalonians that the Antichrist will rule the world from God's earthly throne, that he is in Jerusalem. Many are watching events in the Middle East, as am I. You two are wondering how close Israel is to war with nations that surround her. And how it might impact us as an ally.
Right.
It will happen. When the dust of the war settles, the Antichrist will rule from God's throne in Jerusalem.
Uh-huh.
Now we can speculate all we want. It won't matter.
Yes.
We can't predict the day nor the hour.
Right, right.
It may not look like Christ is coming soon. But that can change in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye.
Amen.
Paul says that we will have no power over these unfolding events. The unrest in Syria, or Libya, or Jordan, or Turkey, or Egypt, amen, or Iran, Iraq or Afghanistan is beyond our control. But we do have power over our own convictions. Paul reminds us that we can guard our minds and not allow ourselves to be troubled by what we hear or by what we see. Don't let some fly-by-night offer come and tell you that the Lord is coming on this day or that day. Because God still rules and super rules. Somebody said he's sovereign. He can do whatever he wants to do. Whatever he wants to do. Just because he wants to do. My God is sovereign. So in this season, and I close in a season of expectation, there are some things that we can do. We can set our house in order and make sure and very sure that our anchor holds to the solid rock, which is Jesus. We can make sure we're waiting with anxious anticipation, not for a baby in a manger, but for a Savior coming in the clouds. The baby has already finished his work and fulfilled his promise. He has unveiled the good news. He has laid down his life. He has paid redemption's price. He has proven his power over death. And he has given us a clear path to salvation. But our Savior has one more promise to fulfill. To come back and claim his bride. That is the church. But are you dressed for the wedding? Help me, Holy Ghost. Will you be ready when the bridegroom comes? Will you be ready when his glory illuminates the world? Will you be ready when his love saturates the heaven? Will you be ready when his peace penetrates the clouds? Will you be ready when his grace dominates the sky? Will you be ready when his mercy rains on those that love him? If you're not ready today, you need to come and get dressed for the wedding. Can I get a witness here? I don't know about you, but I'm ready for whenever the Lord calls me. I'll be ready when Jesus comes. Isn't that right? Because someday I'll be called up to meet him. Will you be ready? Somebody said sinners will be running in that day. They will cry for rocks and mountains to fall on them in that day. But I'm ready when the Lord comes. I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, that I've seen the lightning flash. I've heard the thunder roll. Sin bring dash, trying to conquer my soul. But I heard
me, Lord. He promised us never to leave us. Never to leave us alone. I'm dressed for the wedding. I'm dressed for the wedding. I'm ready when the Lord comes. When he calls my name. I'm ready. I will say, Lord, here am I. Gotta get a witness in.
I pray we'll all be ready for He's ready.
an important question. That's a question that a lot of us want to ask when somebody is stretched out in front of us. I wonder, where was they ready? Were they saved? And the song that she sung was dripping with Bible, amen. That's the way the rapture will take place. Somebody that you know, not gonna go. Is that right? Might be somebody in the same house that you live in. Might be a friend that you know. But I am committed, and I hope and pray that the people that I come in contact with, those that the Lord has placed under my covering, under my guidance, under my direction, under my leadership, within the frame of, amen, that he's placed me, that I see you in glory. It'd be a sad situation that if I get to heaven and there's nobody there that I know. Can I get a witness here? It's like the man that was entrusted with the master's child, and the master went on a far journey, but he came back for his child. The man told the master, "Lord, I took care of the child. I bathed the child. I fed the child. But somewhere along the way, master, I lost your child." What an indictment. God allows our path to cross individuals that may be searching for salvation. Wouldn't it be a shame that you end up in heaven, but somebody you know, somebody that you love, end up in hell? We thank God for